So if you are a smoker, I want to know from you, are you frustrated that you can no longer smoke in spaces that were once designated smoking areas? It used to be that if you went to a restaurant, for example, the area outside, or there'd be enclosures where you could smoke. New laws say that is no longer going to be the case. Or do you find all of this welcome relief? Do you hate even a whiff of tobacco, of smoke? The Department of Health, of course, has officially released its draft tobacco bill for public comment. Among the proposals is banning smoking in certain public spaces, plain packaging of all cigarette products. Cigarettes may no longer be publicly displayed by retailers, the removing of areas in restaurants. They don't even want vending machines to dispense cigarettes. That's how far the bill seeks to go. And they're also saying vaping must also go in public buildings. And I want to know from you, is this a bill that's going too far, or do you think it's welcome relief? We're now going to be joined in this conversation by the CEO of the Tobacco, Alcohol and Gambling Advisory Advocacy, and that's an action group that's, of course, Peter Yuko. We'll also be speaking to Dr. José Letlape, who is the co-founder of the Africa Harm Reduction Alliance. Let's start then with you, Peter. Good morning to you, and thank you for doing this with us.
Hi, Bongani.
Now, you initiated the process that led to the ban of smoking in municipal buildings, with Edenvale, the first municipality to ban smoking in buildings. But the smoking laws, you say, are not enough. You want them to be stricter.
Yes, well, we set the pace in Edenvale in 1989 when we banned smoking in municipal buildings. And really, it's a health reason. You don't want to expose people to second-hand and third-hand smoke. It's just a public health risk. It's as simple as that.
I mean, there's this idea, and I'm one who's offended by this, by the way, where a group of smokers will congregate around the entrance to a building, and you as a non-smoker have to pass through a cloud of smoke. By extending the area from which you can or are allowed to smoke, that deals with that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does in a way, but let's call a spade a spade and not a shovel. It's not just a cloud of smoke. That sounds polite and okay, it's a cloud of smoke. Clouds are lovely. There's songs about clouds. But it's not just a cloud of smoke. It's a dense cloud of toxic chemicals that are dangerous to public health. And that's why we need to protect people from it. It's toxic. It contains carcinogens. It's dangerous.
There are those, though, who will say, as much as they may agree with it in principle, it's not realistic, it's certainly not enforceable. And then, of course, there's the economic factor to consider in terms of job losses, the tobacco industry being, of course, a leading source of revenue for the fiscus.
Well, we need to unpack quite a lot of that. Job losses is a separate issue from revenue, and we need to look at the two. First of all, cigarettes are not made by people. Cigarettes, by and large, are made by machines. So the ratio of money to jobs is not very large. It's not a labor-intensive operation. The other thing is that, by and large, the tobacco industry pays company tax. That's what they pay. They don't pay billions in excise duty and VAT, etc., as they occasionally claim to do. All they are, like all other businesses in the country, are collectors of tax for the government. So the people who consume the product, the smokers, they pay the tax, not the tobacco industry. So we get misguided by statements of the tobacco industry that on the face of it sound true and correct. But when you analyze it, they're not true.
Yeah, all right, Peter, I'll keep you on the line. Joining in on the conversation is Dr. José Letlape. As I say, he's the co-founder of the Africa Harm Reduction Alliance. Good morning to you, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Bongani, and morning to the listeners.
You agree with most of what Peter would say around smoking, except, of course, you don't think vaping is as bad as smoking. So do you find that a little bit more acceptable, the idea of vaping or the alternative of e-cigarettes? Do you think that's the way to go?
No, we're saying there are alternatives to combustion, and those alternatives include vaping. And we should not treat nicotine sources the same because they are not the same. And we welcome that there's a new bill, and we hope that it will make that distinction. as you can see in other markets, like in the UK, vaping is considered to be useful, and e-cigarettes are even, they are advocating for them being provided by the national health system, and for doctors to prescribe them to smokers who can't quit.
As a medical practitioner yourself, of course, you would have obviously be aware of some of the objections to even e-cigarettes. People will also argue that particularly the big tobacco companies are trying to keep or at least get a second life via e-cigarettes. And there are those who suggest that these aren't as harmless as they may seem to be.
When you look at e-cigarettes in particular, the majority of e-cigarettes are not supplied by big tobacco. They are supplied by new players in that industry. But people need to separate the fact that we know that combustible cigarettes are extremely harmful to people's health. They are the biggest cause of preventable illnesses. There are now people that can't quit, that produce this burden on the healthcare systems. There are alternatives. If you look at Sweden, Bongani, for the last 40 years, they introduced smokeless tobacco. Sweden now has the lowest prevalence of smoking, also has the lowest prevalence of smoking-related diseases in the EU. So we must just be mindful of the fact that there are alternatives for those people that can't quit. We have no issues with the restrictions that are being put on combustible cigarettes, including plain packaging. But we're saying, let's look at the evidence that these products are not the same and they need to be treated differently. And smokers that can't quit should be encouraged to move to less harmful products. Just like in medical terms, we have nicotine replacement therapy for people that can't quit cigarettes but are dependent on nicotine.
All right.
And many other alternatives, including e-cigarettes, but it's beyond e-cigarettes.
And
newer technologies called heat-not-burn. There's also the old smokeless tobacco, which has been proven to be less harmful than combustible cigarettes.
Do you have any issues with vaping?
I have no issues with vaping. I'm saying for people that use combustibles, non-combustibles, including vaping, should be recommended to them. We must have a separate debate about issues of use in public from issues of recommendation to smokers. Remember, smokers matter, and we as physicians have an obligation to our patients to reduce harm to them and to give them appropriate advice when they cannot quit for alternatives that are safer.
All right.
No different from promoting condom use or needle exchanges for intravenous drug users.
What about Hubbly Bubbly?
Well, Hubbly Bubbly has not been well studied, and it is not considered to be as safe as other products that we're talking about, like heat-not-burn technologies or vaping or smokeless tobacco. So we wouldn't really promote Hubbly Bubbly because there is no evidence that Hubbly Bubbly is any the degree of less harm compared to combustible cigarettes.
All right, let me bring Peter back into the conversation. Peter, your responses, Dr. José Letlape is a medical doctor, firstly, so obviously, as somebody who's a medical practitioner, he says vaping is not really a big problem. You don't agree?
Forgive me, Bongani, I've got to get up from the floor. I've been rolling with laughter. Yes, of course he is an ophthalmologist. We know that. But let's unpack a number of things that he said. And sadly, this is a morning show and it's got to move quite rapidly. We need an hour to unpack this. Hubbly Bubblies are dangerous. Let's deal with that quickly. An hour session of smoking Hubbly Bubbly has been equated to being the same as smoking 200 cigarettes. So it's bad. It's dangerous. The water filtering does nothing. It doesn't cool it down very much. It doesn't take out the particulate matter, the solid things that go into your lungs. It's dangerous. So let's put aside Hubbly Bubbly. It's smoking tobacco products and it's dangerous. Now, let's get back to all the other things. Number one, bear in mind that this Harm Reduction Association
of which Dr. Flappy is a co-founder, is funded by the tobacco industry. It's funded by a tobacco company, a big multinational tobacco manufacturer. And so everything that he says has to be taken with a little pinch of salt. I saw Dr. Lakhlapi on a morning medical show promoting a product which is manufactured by that company which funds his association on this TV program.
All right, let's just keep focused, Peter, on the issue at hand. Just basically, what I'm asking you is, you disagree that vaping is harmless. You disagree that Hubbly Bubbly is harmless. You think all of this legislation should go and deal with those two, not just combustible cigarettes.
Well, there's a mixture of yes and no answers there. Yes, I agree that Hubbly Bubblies are extremely dangerous and must be controlled. Let's deal with vaping. Vaping, as Dr. Lakhlapi said, is less harmful than regular combustible cigarettes. But they are not harmless. They are not safe. They are dangerous. They contain nicotine. They're addictive. Let me give you one study, and he said that the big tobacco is not involved in vaping companies. It's other manufacturers, which is not true. Big tobacco is buying vaping companies. Now, here's one of the reasons.
All right. I'm afraid, Peter, as you say, we're going to run out of time, but I think I've allowed you to make those two points. I'll give Dr. José Letlape the final word on this. Dr. Letlape, you heard what Peter has to say there. He says, firstly, you're an eye specialist. This is not necessarily your area of expertise. But also, he says, Hubbly Bubbly is indeed harmful. And the fact that e-cigarettes may be less harmful than combustible cigarettes doesn't make them harmless. Your response?
We have never said they have no harm. And we have said they are less harmful than combustible cigarettes, which is what he says. Secondly, we are not funded by the tobacco industry. Thirdly, I am a health activist. I am an ophthalmologist, but I have been involved in matters of reducing harm to society. Hand washing. I have been involved in the battle against HIV and AIDS. I'm not an HIV clinician. So I am a harm reduction advocate.
Yeah.
I am on the patient's side, and I am saying when people can't quit, you see, what people cannot do, if we as physicians, you can't tell somebody that is smoking cigarettes to say quit or die.
So what's your best advice to somebody who cannot quit smoking, somebody who's struggling to quit smoking, they want to with all their heart, but they simply can't do it?
Yes, and we have the duty to advise them of the alternatives that are there. We are not about the industry. We are not about promoting people that do not smoke to smoke. It is something that we do not encourage anybody to take up.
So what's your advice to somebody who can't smoke? What do you tell them if they want to quit and they can't, or they've been battling? What's your advice?
You tell them to see a cessation specialist. We'll tell them to look at all alternatives, nicotine replacement therapy. We tell them to look at alternative sources of nicotine that are not combustion. We educate them about the fact that the greatest harm from tobacco is combusting it.
All right.
Because when you combust it, you produce more than 7,000 chemicals, some of which are carcinogenic.
All right,
when do not combust it, you avoid that process, and a lot of the harmful products are either eliminated or drastically reduced.
All right,
remember,
I'm afraid, Dr. Letlape, we have to leave it there. We have to leave it there. We do appreciate your contribution to our discussion. Your final word, Peter, how do you tell people to stop smoking?
Well, Dr. Letlape is right. For those who absolutely cannot quit, then vaping is an alternative. But let me tell you why it's dangerous.
No, your advice, Peter, and I'm afraid just one more point. Your advice for those who want to quit.
Go to a cessation specialist, but vaping is not the alternative. Evidence indicates that it's not necessarily very good. It's a form of nicotine replacement therapy. It's not as effective as it should be.
Right.
Do not vape. Children who vape go on to smoke combustibles. That's the danger.
That's the danger. All right.
Children to do it.
We'll have to leave it there with Peter Yuko, the CEO of the Tobacco, Alcohol and Gambling Advisory and Action Group. Also joining us was the co-founder of the Africa Harm Reduction Alliance, Dr. Khosi Letlape. I'm curious your thoughts around vaping, quitting cigarette smoking. Is this legislation going too far, or do you, like me, find it welcome relief?